Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, March the 31st. Coming up, the victims of a dine and dash speak out. A man finally gets compensation after taking a Kent bus company to court. And it's a point for Gillingham's new manager after his first game in charge. But first up today, the daughter of a terminally ill Maidstone woman whose pain medication was stolen by a carer has spoken out following her sentencing. Lisa Cook's mother was undergoing treatment for breast cancer when she noticed tablets were going missing. Empty cocodamol boxes and blister packets belonging to Mrs. Cook were later found in the support worker's bedroom, handbag and car. Lauren Browning initially denied taking them, but eventually owned up to having a cocodamol addiction and taking the tablets to self-medicate. Well, Kate's been speaking to Mrs. Cook's daughter, Lisa.
When you're facing a parent or a colleague or anybody that you love who's got terminal diagnosis, obviously there's lots of things that are going through your mind at the time, and you're always constantly trying to make sure that you're getting everything right. So I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do that. So at the time when obviously mum was diagnosed with the cancer that she had, your focus is very much on making sure they're okay, making sure they've got their medication, making sure we've got shopping, making sure they make appointments, you know, having the treatment and all of the care about that. And at the time when I first started noticing, which was a couple of months, it was sort of like around the May, June time, I just thought I kept making mistakes. You know, it's really easy to, we're not used to all these tablets. We're not used to all these names of things and when you meant to take them and how long you take them for, etc. So you do genuinely just think, I've made a mistake. I thought we had three of those left. We've only got one left. I thought we had two packets of that left. We've only got half a packet left or whatever. And so you start to just doubt and you go, well, I've made a mistake. So I started to get really vigilant and writing things in calendars so that I didn't forget. And that's when I started to see that there were just discrepancies with what we got and what we'd got left and what mum had taken.
I think you've shown quite a lot of compassion towards Lauren. Can you tell me a little about where that comes from and why? I try and put myself in your situation and I don't know that I would be as quite understanding as you've been. So
yeah,
where is that coming from?
She didn't kill mum. Mum was going to die anyway. So, I mean, you know, what she did didn't kill her. I mean, we know she's not a murderer, so that's a good thing. But I think what we also need to understand is that our society is based on rehabilitation, not vengeance. Surely that's what a good society should be. And I can't help thinking that, I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. I'm angry. I'm upset. There's a myriad of emotions. I'm still obviously going through some grief, etc. I'm still trying to deal with things like probate. And so there's always a massive amount of things that you're dealing with, even after the person has passed. But I truly think that a lot of the problems that we are facing at the moment is due to the lack of funding that has been given to resources that are available to people. You know, I've got friends who wait 2 or 3 weeks to get a doctor's appointment. There's no youth services anymore. Mental health services are declining and have declined. You go to A&E and it's filled with people. That's not where they should be, but they have nowhere else to go. And I think we have to understand in this country, if we want to have a country that we can be proud of, we need to start supporting people. You know, not everybody is able to find the help they need. And I think what came out of the court case was very interesting about addiction and mental health issues. And I think that that is something we have to take on board. Yes, that person, I'm not condoning what they did. Obviously what they did was wrong, but I think we also have to show some compassion because if that person was genuinely struggling, as a lot of people are, self-medicating is the easiest way out, whether it's through alcohol, through food, through recreational drugs, or through prescription drugs. You're going to find a way to get out of the despair that you're in. So I think we have to understand that. And I think it's really short-sighted to just go, she's a bad and lock her up. Actually, no, that's not what this is about. I'm hoping that she's now going to get the support that she needs to turn her life around. And then she can use that experience to help other people. And ultimately, I think mum and I talked about it when we first, obviously, the police got involved, etc. And she was like, I don't want her to go to prison. She's a nice lady. You know, she's just done something wrong. And I think that's what this was about. It wasn't about getting her locked up and throwing away the key. It was getting her help and also making sure that this can't happen to somebody else. And I think that's the thing. I think the thing I will always say is I had the voice and I used my voice. And as much as at the time you go, this is a can of worms I may not want to open because I know it's going to impact a huge amount on my mental health as well. But we need to do this because there are people out there who haven't got a voice, and we need to always. And that's the whole basis of our welfare state, isn't it? To help the vulnerable. So we always need to consider that.
As you heard there, very sadly, Mrs. Cook has passed away. 27-year-old Browning from Tufton Street in Maidstone has received a community order. She must attend rehab and complete a mental health programme.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and seven fire engines have been called to tackle a blaze at a derelict hotel in Folkestone. It broke out in Clifton Crescent in the early hours of this morning, causing a lot of smoke in the area. The Rhodesia Hotel is Grade 2 listed. Crews say they have put out the flames and have been dampening down hotspots. The family of a Raynham teenager left severely brain damaged after nearly drowning say poor care provided by the council is hampering his rehab. Jack Dolan was knocked unconscious after doing a flip into the sea in Margate last June. Medway Council say a review of the 15-year-old's care plan will be brought forward to ensure he gets the right level of support. The mum of a Uni of Kent student who took his own life has urged others who are struggling to reach out for support. Thomas Smith was discovered in Beverley Meadow in November last year following a silent battle with depression. The 19-year-old was in his second year of studying architecture. An inquest has heard there was no cause for concern around his mental health and his death was ruled as suicide. Now you can contact Samaritans on 116 123 if you're struggling. That's 116 123. Next today, and the owners of a family-run restaurant in Staplehurst say they're frustrated and disheartened after allegedly falling victim to a large dine and dash. A family of eight have been accused of leaving just £30 for a meal, which should have cost almost £300. Jumeirah's regional manager, Fahim Ahmed, says it's becoming a regular occurrence.
Throughout the night, like we do with all our customers, we ask, how is your meal? How is everything? Again, they was all happy. There was no issues whatsoever. It was end of the meal now. They asked for the food to be taken away. They ordered a separate takeaway because how impressed it was with the food. They said, look, we want to take a separate takeaway order. So we've gone ahead, gave them the takeaway order. Literally, as soon as they received it, stuff is switched in them where Tenor said, but we're not going to be paying the bill. And it's literally just, it was just that they were just weren't having it. They weren't paying for the bill. Apparently, throughout the night, the service wasn't as great. The food wasn't good. So it least just contradicted with anything that happened throughout the night, where they was happy with the food. They had to be happy with the service. End of the night, the terminal said no. He wasn't happy with anything.
Because there's no point at all did they make any complaints.
Nothing at all. It was literally upon receiving the bill at the end of the night that suddenly there was, you know, all these complaints about the service not being good, the food wasn't up to scratch. So, but throughout the night, there's nothing, it's not nothing else that would be giving us the sense that they weren't happy with the food or anything of the sort.
And what happens at that point where they say they're not going to pay the bill, that they didn't receive good service? What happens at that point?
At that point, as a business, there's only so much we can do. Especially when we're in this hospitality trade. It's happened to us numerous times, whether it's in Jumeirah, in Staplehurst, in Cranbrook, Waters, or even at Blue Steakhouse across the road. We've had diners come in. Some come with the intention of doing this from the beginning. They've come with the intention of, look, I'm going to go for a meal and I'm not going to pay my bill at the end of the night. They come with the intention of doing that. There's only so much as a business being in the hospitality trade that we can do. We can't lock the doors and say, look, you're not leaving without paying the bill. We're not going to do that. We're an established group, we're award-winning group. But like I said, some come with the intention of doing this, and there's only so much that we can do other than, you know, reporting it to the police. When it comes to something like this as well, I know police they've got so much other things going on.
It has been reported to police. However, they have said it's a civil matter.
Kent Online reports.
Police have given us a picture of a man they want to speak to about an assault in Canterbury. A man in his 60s was taken to hospital with injuries after violence broke out between a group of people in St. Peter Street in the early hours of Saturday. We've shared the CCTV image via Kent Online's socials. A Folkestone man's been told he's got to comply to strict conditions if he wants to get his XL bully back after it was seized by police. Ashley Martin claims he didn't realise the pet was the banned breed and had failed to get a certificate of exemption. The 29-year-old from Dallas Breck Crescent has appeared in court and been told the animal must be microchipped, muzzled in public and not walked by anyone under the age of 16. A man's been charged following an attack in Ramsgate which left another man in his 60s with a head injury. The victim's in a stable condition in a London hospital after being assaulted in Harbour Street on Friday night. A 34-year-old is due in court. Now, a reporter for Kent Online has very bravely shared her story following a cancer diagnosis that she says came completely out of the blue. Megan Carr found a lump on her neck while on holiday at the age of just 23. It turned out to be thyroid cancer. After two rounds of surgery and treatment with radioactive iodine, she's now on the road to recovery. Well, I've been chatting to Megan about her diagnosis and treatment.
I was away on holiday and it just didn't go down for the two-week duration. So as soon as I got back, I went to my walking clinic and they said that there was something probably on my goiter. There was something on my thyroid, which is a goiter. And then I was sent to the GP to have scans, tests, all sorts really. And I can't say this enough, how lucky I have been with my treatment with the NHS, because I know lots of people often say that there's things that don't always go right, but I cannot fault the speed in which I got my diagnosis. So unfortunately, it did turn out that I had thyroid cancer. And normally the diagnosis time for thyroid cancer is 4 years and mine took 4 months, which is just incredible. And I do sort of feel a bit of guilt for that, because I know that not everyone with cancer or with lumps and bumps that they're not sure of gets that. So I do feel not only relief, but guilt that I managed to get it so quickly. But, you know, it was all sort of a whirlwind from July to September. I had an ultrasound and then I had a biopsy and then I had to have surgery to have half my thyroid removed. I thought that was the sort of end of it, but that surgery did confirm I had thyroid cancer. So then they had to remove the other side. And to be honest, that's when all my problems started, because I was healthy with my tumour, which is a bizarre sentence to say. Because, you know, 2 days before I was on holiday, another holiday, and I was scuba diving and I was swimming every day and I was fine. I was like any other 23-year-old at the time. But, and then as soon as I woke up from my second surgery, something was off with my body and it never really sunk into me until afterwards that they had removed a vital organ. And that vital organ is sort of in charge of your hormones. And, you know, there's a parathyroid next to your thyroid that controls your calcium. And calcium just isn't your bones and teeth. It's also your heart and your muscles. And all of my world just changed because my body didn't work like it did before. So
it's funny, isn't it? Because we heard these words like your thyroid, and half of us probably have no clue what it did. I mean, did you know before all of this what your thyroid actually did and what it was for?
I mean, not really. I mean, I remember saying to one friend that I'm getting my thyroid checked, and they looked down at my thigh, and I was like, oh no, it's in your neck. And, you know, a thyroid, I think my nans have had an over or an underactive thyroid, and you know about older people taking levothyroxine medication, but people my age, you don't really think about it. And especially my parathyroid, which is around the thyroid, I didn't even know existed 6 months ago, and now it's completely changed my life. Like, the cancer wasn't what made me unwell, it was the surgery. And I, at one point I was on about 20 pills a day just to sort of live, which is bizarre. It's just been a real eye-opening experience, and I've come out of it very grateful and mature. And again, like I said earlier, guilt, because although I have got cancer and I'll be on surveillance for pretty much the rest of my life now because it could come back, I know that not everyone's as lucky. And that's a lot of people with thyroid cancer that I've spoken to have also felt that way, because, you know, I've even had some people say to me that, oh, it's not the worst cancer. Like, you know, if I was going to get one, I'd want that cancer. And that's such a strange conversation to have with someone, because it's a bit like, well, okay, you have it then. Or, oh, if that was the case, then I wouldn't have had to like go through everything I've been through. It's just all been a very surreal 6 months, and it's good to kind of feel on the other side of it now.
And also, you're so incredibly young, and you must have been very aware of your body, which, you know, they're always saying, aren't they, check for anything that's slightly different. So, I mean, it's just such a powerful message, really, to get across that this can happen at any age. Cancer doesn't discriminate, does it?
It really doesn't. I mean, not that anyone deserves cancer, but I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I was healthy, I was losing weight, I was doing everything right by the books. If I'd been smoking since the age of 12 and I'd had lung cancer or something like that, you'd be like, right, no one deserves that, but I understand why I've got it. But my thyroid cancer was completely out of the blue. There's no genetic history of it. There's no cancer in my family apart from back in the day when they were minors and they were smokers, so they had lung cancer because of what they were doing. And the doctor said to me, you know, it's either genetic, you've been somewhere radioactive like Chernobyl, which I hadn't, or it's just really, really rubbish luck. And unfortunately for me, it was rubbish luck. One cell just decided not to divide properly and it left me with cancer. And that really can happen to anyone. And, you know, all, again, it's all everyone says, but if you just feel off, you feel sluggish, you've gained weight or lost weight, or, you know, you just suddenly notice there's a little bit of a bump if you put your necklace on or something like that, there is no harm with booking a doctor's appointment and just trying to find out. I know getting doctor's appointment are hard at the moment, but, you know, even if you book it now and you can't get seen for 4 weeks, that's still 4 weeks earlier than if you waited.
Thank you so much to Megan for sharing her story. You can also read her article in full by heading to the website.
Kent Online reports.
Sir Richard Branson says he's been given the green light to run trains through the Channel Tunnel. Eurostar's had a monopoly of the passenger service since 1994, but trains haven't stopped in Kent since COVID. Bosses at the Virgin Group say they're ready to take up the challenge. Kent Online's been told work on a £41 million road link near Canterbury is on course to start in a year's time. It'll connect the A291 Sturry Hill to the A28 Sturry Road and is designed to ease congestion in the city centre. Construction was due to get underway in 2023, but has been delayed twice. Staying with roads news, and drivers are demanding action over a pothole-ridden bridge in Willesborough. The Boys Hall Road Bridge between Highfield and South Willesborough has been called lethal, with some motorists even saying it's so bad they describe it as a trench. It's owned by Network Rail, who say they're working closely with the County Council to carry out repairs. Now, a Kent pensioner who successfully sued a bus company after one of their vehicles drove past him and his wife has finally received his compensation. Arriva were ordered to pay David Poole £84 after a bus left the couple as they waited for the number 6 to take them from Maidstone to East Peckham. A county court judgment ordered the company to fork out the cash, but it's taken another 6 months for it to be paid. David has been sharing his reaction.
I was very upset that Arriva had managed to put us off without claim for compensation. And the taxi fare that I persisted, and it's taken now 11 months to get any sort of response, sensible response, and payment of the debt after we'd gone to court and got a judgment in our favour. The Arriva actually never responded to either my initial approaches nor to the receipt of the county court judgment. After many emails and telephone calls, we now have eventually managed to get that money from them. It was quite obvious from Arriva's attitude that they thought, because I was a pensioner, potentially an old fart, that I'd just go away and leave them in peace and forget about this whole affair. I was quite determined that that would not happen, and thanks to persevering, we have managed now to get a proper outcome of this problem. So I would encourage anybody and everybody who has any sort of claim with any sort of large company, never mind Arriva, that they persist and keep pestering for the the rightful outcome of their claim.
Now, we've been in contact with Arriva, and a spokesman says we can confirm that the payment was made to the customer resolving this matter. While we do not agree with all aspects of how this case has been presented, we decided it was most expedient to bring it to a conclusion. Our focus remains on delivering a reliable service for our passengers. And finally, today is 40 years since the closure of Chatham Dockyard, ending 400 years of shipbuilding and Royal Navy presence in Medway. Since then, it's become a world-leading maritime destination with exhibitions, events and community-led initiatives to engage new audiences with its heritage. They're commemorating with Dockyard 40, a programme of events including discounted tickets and expanding access for young people.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and the new Gillingham manager got a point in his first game in charge at the weekend. It finished 1-1 at Harrogate on Saturday, with both sides scoring from the penalty spot. Gareth Ainsworth spoke to us after the final whistle.
A little bit nervous around us, you know, a little bit of nervousness, and obviously a change of manager, a big week for the boys. So the character they've shown today, I'm really, really proud of. Coming back, you know, from what is a tough place, you know, Harrogate are in the league every year because of their home form. Their home form is really good, you know, and it's easy to get beat here because you're unexpected, you know, the pitch isn't great to play on, and they're good at what they do, you know, they really are. And we warned them about the set pieces, and you know, ultimately see two set pieces today, you know, two penalties. But the character the boys have shown second half to get back into it, and could have gone on to win it. But I think either team, you know, I would say today could have had a winning goal. So I'm not going to dress it up in rose tinted glasses. Plenty of work to do. But yeah, my eyes were open on a few players today. So yeah, really pleased.
So application, effort, desire, did you get everything that you'd asked for before?
Yeah, you know, second half, I thought we could have got closer to the ball, up the pitch higher a little bit, you know. But listen, this team has been through the mill this season. You know, they're almost a wounded animal, and they're a bit scared sometimes. We need to go a bit more all out, get that ball down, play some good attacking football. I think when we got the ball down second half, a couple of switches of play, getting the wing-backs in, getting behind them, I think that caused the problems, and that led to the penalty, actually, you know, a couple of switches of play. And then when Jaden came on, you know, I think he injected a little bit of almost arrogance that I'm going to take people on and get at people, you know. I want that no-fear attitude from the boys, you know. Fans were absolutely fantastic. Really, really good, you know, and didn't expect them to travel in those numbers, but absolutely behind the boys. I think, I'm hoping they can see there's a little bit of a difference, you know.
The Jewels stay 19th in League Two and welcome Colchester United to Priestfield tomorrow night. Staying with football, and Whitstable Town have moved closer to a Wembley final with a strong win over Hartbury University. Nearly 3,000 fans filled Belmont Stadium for their FA Vars semi-final first leg on Saturday. Two goals gave the Oystermen a 2-0 lead heading into next Sunday's second leg at Hartbury. And Canterbury City have confirmed they've resigned from the Southern Counties East Division 1 League. The club has struggled to find a new ground and will be moving back to Thannington Resource Community Centre. Bosses say they need to grow their fan base before they can improve facilities. On to ice hockey now, and Kent's Invicta Dynamos are through to the playoff semi-finals. They beat Solent Devils 7-6 after a dramatic overtime finish in the second leg of their quarter-final yesterday. They'll play Slough Jets next. And finally, a new floating obstacle course is opening in Medway. It's being set up at the Chatham Maritime Water Sports Centre and includes slides, free falls and climbing bars. It'll open to the public at the end of May, just in time for the bank holiday weekend. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. You can sign up to that by heading to Kent Online. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.